It was like a crude clay figurine, or one of the primitive works of art found in the recesses of Stone Age caves. Only the head was fashioned with care, and the face, beyond all shadow of doubt, was that of Commander Dave Bowman. "Hello, Dr. Floyd. Now do you believe me?" The lips of the figure never moved. Poole realized that the voice, yes, certainly Bowman's voice, was actually coming from the speaker grill. "This is very difficult for me, and I have little time. I have been allowed to give this warning. You have only 15 days. Why, and what are you?" But the ghostly figure was already fading, its grainy envelope beginning to dissolve back into the constituent particles of dust. "Goodbye, Dr. Floyd. We can have no further contact. But there may be one more message if all goes well." As the image dissolved, Poole could not help smiling at that old space-age cliché, "if all goes well." How many times he had heard that phrase intoned before a mission. The phantom vanished. Only the motes of dancing dust were left, resuming their random patterns in the air. With an effort of will, Poole came back to the present.
"Well, Commander, what do you think of that?" asked Kim.
Poole was still shaken, and it was several seconds before he could reply. The face and the voice were Bowman's, I'd swear to that. But what was it?
"That's what we're still arguing about. Call it a hologram, a projection.
Of course, there are plenty of ways it could be faked if anyone wanted to, but not in those circumstances. And then, of course, there's what happened next."
"Lucifer?"
"Yes. Thanks to that warning, the Leonov had just sufficient time to get away before Jupiter detonated.
So whatever it was, the Bowman thing was friendly and trying to help."
"Presumably. And it may have been responsible for that one more message we did receive. It was sent only minutes before the detonation. Another warning."
Dr. Kim brought the screen to life once more. It showed plain text. "All these worlds are yours except Europa. Attempt no landings there."
The same message was repeated about 100 times, then the letters became garbled.
"And we never have tried to land there?" asked Poole.
"Only once, by accident, 36 years later, when the USSS Galaxy was hijacked and forced down there and her sister ship Universe had to go to the rescue. It's all here, with what little our robot monitors have told us about the Europans.
I'm anxious to see them.
They're amphibious and come in all shapes and sizes. As soon as Lucifer started melting the ice that covered their whole world, they began to emerge from the sea. Since then, they've developed at a speed that seems biologically impossible.
From what I remember about Europa, weren't there lots of cracks in the ice? Perhaps they'd already started crawling through and having a look round."
"That's a widely accepted theory. But there's another, much more speculative one. The monolith may have been involved in ways we don't yet understand. What triggered that line of thought was the discovery of TMA-0 right here on Earth, almost 500 years after your time."
"I suppose you've been told about that?"
"Only vaguely. There's been so much to catch up with. I did think the name was ridiculous, since it wasn't a magnetic anomaly, and it was in Africa, not Tycho."
"You're quite right, of course. But we're stuck with the name. And the more we learn about the monoliths, the more the puzzle deepens, especially as they're still the only real evidence for advanced technology beyond the Earth."
"That surprised me. I should have thought that by this time we'd have picked up radio signals from somewhere. The astronomers started searching when I was a boy."
"Well, there is one hint. And it's so